Something that the enemy is trying to take away from you is your peace. This morning I want to talk about the price of our peace. The price of our peace. That price that's been paid. Your peace has been paid for. Amen? Your peace has been paid for. But we don't often walk in. We don't often have it. It's been bought. It's been paid for. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verses 4 and 5 together. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Little boy was standing in the foyer of the church looking at a bunch of names on the wall, and the pastor walked up to him and said, "Son, you know who all these names are?" And the little boy said, "No." He said, "Well, these are people who died in the service." And the little boy said, "Which one, morning or evening?" So I'm hoping that nobody dies today. Get through the service just fine. We'll try not to keep you too long. Amen. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs," or carried. Hallelujah. He has carried our griefs, borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, that is the price, the chastisement or the price of our peace was upon him. I just got to say that again. The price of our peace. Whew. The price of our peace was laid upon him. Well, let that soak into your spirit. Isn't that good? The price of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Amen. He has carried our griefs and carried our sorrows. How many of you are carrying grief? How many of you are carrying pain? How many of you are carrying sorrow? Well, why are you carrying? He's already carried it for you. He's already carried it for you. We're carrying things this morning we don't have to carry. We're walking around with a sack of rocks. It's not a sack of rocks other people can see. You're walking around with a heavy load and nobody else sees it. Nobody else knows what you're going through. We oftentimes won't share our hearts completely with others because we're afraid. It makes us vulnerable. So we hold things inside. We build walls to protect ourselves. We won't make ourselves vulnerable, so we carry this pain. But Jesus died for the whole man. He didn't just die so that we might be saved. He died that we might be healed. And not just our body, not just our physical body, but our inner man, our inner spirit, our emotions. It's his desire to heal us completely. And God's people are not healed walking in the healing they ought to be walking in. We're not as healthy as we ought to be in God. And I know that people have been oppressed by the enemy, and I know that the enemy has attacked you, but God wants to heal emotions today. God wants to do inner healing today. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit, and I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the power of your Word to set people free and change lives. Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. I'm so thankful, Lord, for loving me. I'm so thankful, Lord, for caring. Always being there. Thank you for your faithfulness. But Lord, you love everybody here today the same. There are no favorites with you. You love people. You love the world. And you love every person here, and you've got something for them today. If they'll receive it and they'll accept it. So I ask in the name of Jesus right now that you touch your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God is a healer. Amen. God is a healer. And he wants you healed. He desires that you walk in healing. No father wants their children to be sick. No loving father wants their children to be sick. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you being earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven? He's saying that the Father in heaven is more loving and more caring than any earthly father. That's what he's saying. Now, earthly fathers don't want their kids to be sick. I always hated it when my kids got sick. And I would have taken it in a heartbeat. Amen? Wouldn't you? Because you don't, you would say, Lord, if there's some way you could put that on me, you know, I'll take it. That's the heart of an earthly father. If an earthly father can have a heart like that, imagine the heart of God. That the heart of God doesn't want you carrying that burden. So as an earthly father, I would take it for my kids. Well, guess what? He took it for you. He took it for you. So that we don't have to bear some of the burdens that we are bearing. That doesn't mean that we don't have hard places in life. That doesn't mean that we don't have a bump in the road. We do. We all do. But it means that when you go through those hard places, you have an understanding. You have a deep-seated knowledge. You have a deep-seated knowing. And it doesn't steal and rob from you the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. But in order for us to receive healing, whether it be inner healing, emotional healing, or physical healing, we have got to learn obedience. I'm going to say that again. For us to receive healing, we have got to learn obedience. You can't expect to just be any old way and just do whatever it is you think is right and expect to walk in healing and the blessings of the Lord. It don't work that way. God's blessings are tied to obedience. The Bible teaches us that. When you walk in harmony with the purposes of God, you live a blessed life. People that walk lives, and it's like, you ever known people, it just seems like everything, it's just, you know, there's a reason for that. Because you haven't learned how to walk in the purposes of God and receiving the blessings of the Lord. You're somewhere, and I guarantee you, if I was to sit down with you and talk, we'd find some place in your life where you're twisting against God a little bit. That's always the case. So we have to learn obedience. I shared a little bit of this when I walked through what I walked through, and I wrestled with God about it in the hospital. But, you know, one of the things he taught me was, because I was like, God, I thought we had a deal here. And he was like, you know what? When you're eating barbecue every day and you're eating all the stuff you were eating and that's not good for you, you know that's why you're where you're at? Amen. I didn't walk in obedience with the word of God and my body got in bad shape. You can't blame God for that because he gave us instructions in his word about learning to walk a certain way and live a certain way. You got to take care of yourself. We have a responsibility. So I learned. The doctors gave me a good talking to. And so now I'm trying to do the right things. Amen. I've got clean plumbing and I want to keep it that way. But my point is, we can't just, you know, eat everything in the world and then wonder why we're sick. You know, you can't eat cake all day long and then why have I got diabetes? You know, it just, there are things we have to learn. And the same is that, as that's true for my outward body, taking care of the house that God's given us. How many of you know you got to take care of the house? The house you're living in right now, if you didn't paint it every once in a while, and you didn't take care of the roof, and you didn't take care of the plumbing, and it would fall down around you. You have to maintain your house. This house is no different. It does require a little maintenance. For some of us, a lot of maintenance. My inner man requires a little maintenance. I cannot ignore my inner man, the hurts and the things that go on inside of me, and that's what we try to do. A lot of times we just stick our head in the sand, we just hope it goes away, and we have some hurt, we have something in our life, and we don't deal with it. See, he not only heals us physically, but he heals us on the inside. He brings inner healing, and he brings emotional healing. He carried our griefs. That's emotions. That's inner. That's spirit. That's soul. He carried our griefs and he carried our sorrows. He bore those things. You know the verse, if you go back for this, says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Whose grief was he acquainted with? The grief of mankind. The grief of humanity. That's the grief that he was acquainted with. The hurts and sorrows. The Word became flesh. He became a man and he walked on this earth and he felt those things. The Word of God says that he has been tempted with everything we've ever been tempted with. When you go to God in prayer and you're like, Lord, I feel betrayed. I feel hurt. I feel offended. He knows those emotions. He has experienced every one of them. You don't bring anything to him that he hasn't gone through. Amen? And so he is acquainted with grief. He is acquainted with sorrow. And he carried our griefs and sorrows. And the chastisement or the price of our peace was laid upon him. He paid for your peace. And you may be sitting there today saying, I don't have peace today. I don't have peace in my life. I'm not at peace. I'm not at rest. I don't sleep good. I don't rest good. I worry all the time. I'm filled with anxiety. I'm filled with fear. I certainly don't have peace. Well, he paid for it. He paid for something that you have not accessed in the kingdom. Listen to what Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. I'll give you peace because he paid for it. It's his to give. My peace give I unto you. That he wants to give you this rest. This inner rest, this inner peace. One thing I've learned about God is he never shows us the in-between. God will show you a dream. God will show you the end. God will show you where you're going. But he doesn't show you the in-between. You know where you are. And he shows you the promise, but he don't show you the journey. How many of you found that out? The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, how many times do they complain because, see, God didn't show them the journey. When they left Egypt, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and the quickest, shortest route to the promised land was to turn to the left and go north. God told them to turn and go south. He took them, and if you'll look on some of your Bible maps, you'll see this crazy long path that God took them on because he was what? He was teaching them. He was trying to teach them. God walks us through things sometimes, trying to teach us lessons and learning to depend on God and learning to grow God in our life. If he showed you the hard times, if he showed you all those things that scare you to death, you'd be afraid to get out of the house. You'd be afraid to go anywhere, do anything. We walk through the hard times for a purpose. That God brings us through, but the Word of God says he brings us through. Satan's sickness doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. God don't want the world to be sick. God doesn't want the world to be hurting. These are the things that the enemy brings, but God brings us through them. He doesn't lead them. If we learn to trust him, he brings us through them. So it's what you do with what you know, like Joseph, for example. Joseph had a dream. God showed him a dream. God showed him greatness. God showed him that he was going to be great in the kingdom of God. He saw all of that in a dream, but he didn't see the journey. Right? He had no clue what was coming. Imagine God calling the angels together and saying, y'all know I'm going to make Joseph the second ruler in all of Egypt, right? And the angels were like, yeah, that's pretty cool. The little kid down there. Yeah, the young man down there. And I'm going to make him second ruler in all of Egypt. Here's my first step. And they're watching, and all of a sudden, Joseph's brothers grab him, tear his clothes off of him, and throw him in a pit. And the angels were like, God, that doesn't seem like we're going in the right direction here. And then God says, here's the next step. And so the angels are watching, and then God has Joseph sold into slavery. And he's in shackles and chains, and he's on his way to Egypt. But he's on his way to Egypt. Amen. Then he gets to Egypt and becomes a servant in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and he resists her advances, and then she accuses him of trying to rape her. Now he's in prison. Amen. And Joseph's like, God, you can stop helping me now. But folks, it's all part of the journey. Now, Joseph could have got bitter. Joseph could have been filled with unforgiveness. Joseph could have been filled with anger at God. Joseph could have done a lot of things. But he didn't. He stayed faithful. He continued to trust the Lord. And then when Pharaoh had the dreams and they told him, there's someone in one of your jails that knows how to interpret dreams. And Joseph was brought out of prison and interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was so impressed with the counsel and wisdom of the Lord that was upon him, he made him second ruler in all of Egypt. And God could look at the angels and smile and say, how about that? But it was a journey. Folks, we're on a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. This thing, you don't get there in a day. We are so impatient. But it takes time for God to work the things out in your life, but you have to let him work them out. So do you let the things you've gone through crush you? What are you doing with the pain of your life? Understand that it has been paid for. By his stripes we are healed. I want to look at what God's word has to say about stripes, because it has a lot to say about it. By his stripes, that is the payment of your peace. Proverbs 19:29 says, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Let me read that again. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings are stripes for the backs of fools. In other words, bad behavior brings stripes. That's what he's saying. Bad behavior is going to bring stripes. I remember one time we were little kids, and it was during the summer. My parents both worked, and they were not in a place to afford someone to come and care for us. We were just old enough to watch for ourselves during the day. And I remember Dad going off to work that morning, and I remember I could sense the uneasiness in my parents at leaving their children at the house by themselves. And I remember Dad saying, do not leave this yard. You stay in the yard. Do not leave this yard. Whatever you do. Okay. He goes to work. Friend across the street comes over and says, I got these coupons. We can go to the store and cash in. I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember, but they used to take 15-cent coupons and 20-cent coupons, and the store, the little stores, would cash them in. They won't do that today, I don't think. But it was like money. If you had a 20-cent off coupon, you had money in your pocket. You had 20 cents in your pocket. And I'm talking back in the day when 10 cents bought a drink and another dime bought a candy bar or a nickel. So for about 15 cents, you had a drink and a candy bar. Amen? Those were the good days, right? You better have a couple of bucks in your pocket now if you're going for a drink and something or more. So he says, I got these coupons. We can go cash them in, get a drink, get a candy bar. And I'm like, hooray. And I remember my brother Phil said, whoa, wait a minute. We ain't supposed to go anywhere. Just don't confuse stuff with facts and, you know, don't bother me with all that. I want a Coke and a candy bar. So we're going. And Philip tagged along. And we walked down the street and we went to the store and we cashed in the coupons and got a Coca-Cola and a candy bar. And life was good. We were laughing and smiling and on our way back home walking, and everybody was having a good time. And we turned the corner of the street we lived on and my dad's truck was in the driveway. Oh. Oh, this is bad. Can I tell you how bad this is? I can hear my friend saying, it ain't that bad. Oh, it's bad. You just don't. It's bad. You don't know. So I walked up into the house with fear and trembling. Dad was there, and he had this look on his face. He was looking. Can you imagine? You're a parent. You've come home. You don't know where your kid. I mean, so it's that panic. And I'll never forget, he said, I have got to go back to work. But when I get home, kill me now. Just kill me now. When I get home, it's going to be bad. There's going to be a beating, you know. And that whole afternoon, we just sat there thinking, oh, God, knowing what's coming. How many of you know stripes were coming? Stripes were coming, and they came. Amen? And it was bad. But I broke the rule and did something that I wasn't supposed to do. Stripes, beatings are for the backs of fools. And I was a fool for going to get that candy bar. Bad behavior brings stripes. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our bad behavior, our disobedience, the stuff that we get into. You know, we love to blame God for the messes that we make. We make those messes. God has nothing to do with them. But we even blame the devil for stuff he didn't have anything to do with. I could just hear him saying, that wasn't me. They did that all on their own. Amen? And there's a punishment for foolishness. Right? There's a punishment. There's a judgment for sin. The wages of sin is death. What is the punishment? Stripes. Who's gonna stand up here and pay that? Who's gonna walk up and pay that and take the stripes for my foolishness? Because you got it coming. I had it coming that day. And we all have it coming. But Jesus took those stripes for you. The stripes were laid on his back, not on your back. He paid for your foolishness. He paid for your recklessness and for your rebellion. He paid for it. He paid for your bad behavior. Psalms 20 verse 30 says, blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. I'll tell you this, I didn't walk out of that yard anymore. Amen? No, I didn't walk out of that yard. I learned a lesson that I didn't forget. What does it say? The blows of hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes cleanse the inner depths of the heart. Discipline is good. That's what he's saying. Amen? Parents, amen? Discipline is good. Stripes change the heart. They change the inside. Stripes bring, are you listening to this? Stripes bring inner healing. By his stripes, we are healed. Do you not see that the stripes that were laid on his back bring healing, releasing the pain that we have carried around? He bore that. That's how he carried our griefs and our sorrows when he was tied to that post and they were whipping his back with a Roman cat of nine tails. You know what that was? Nine strips of leather with bone and metal tied into it. And they would hit him and rip his back wide open. The stripes that were laid on his back were for your inner healing. Maybe you've carried resentment. Maybe you've carried offense. Maybe you've carried betrayal, unforgiveness, bitterness, wounds, rejection, the hurts and pains of a lifetime, that somehow somebody wronged you and you've never been able to let go of it. You were wronged. You were wronged. And you've held that all this time, and all it does is hurt you. It doesn't hurt them. We hold things and we carry this sack of rocks around. Jesus said in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Here's what he said he came to do. Jesus stood up in the synagogue and took the scrolls of Isaiah and started to read. And when he got through reading that passage out of Isaiah, he said, "This day has this prophecy been fulfilled in your hearing." And what did he say he came to do? He said, "I came to preach good news." How many of you know the gospel is good news? I tell people all the time, we don't have any bad news for you. All I got is good news. He came to, listen to this, heal the brokenhearted. A lot of broken hearts. We don't want to admit it, but there's a lot of people whose hearts are broken. He came to bring deliverance to those who were bound or captive. The things, the resentments, the pains, the wounds, the unforgiveness, the rejection, the things that have bound you and held you, he came to break those chains and set you free from that. He came to set free the oppressed. There is a spirit of oppression that is coming against the people of God. There is a heavy spirit of oppression that is bearing down on the people of God in this age in which we live. We're troubled by what we see, and we're having a hard time dealing with it. Our world is rapidly changing around us. And you feel the oppression. But I want you to learn something. I told you at the beginning, and I'm closing with this. Healing is tied to obedience. Physical healing is tied to just doing certain things. Common sense things. Inner healing is tied to similar things. In 1 Peter, and I want to get to this passage and I want to read it. 1 Peter chapter 3, at the end of chapter 2, Peter is talking about, in verse 24, he says, "Who himself bore," this is 2:24, "who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." He bore our sins, he carried them, that we, having died to sin, might now live for righteousness. That calls for a change. "By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And then in chapter 3, he starts to give us examples of that kind of obedience of righteousness. That by his stripes you are healed, you've been brought into a new place, you can now walk into a new place. And he gives us the real kind of practical things. He starts off, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." Husbands, love this verse. Wives hate this verse. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by your conduct and your behavior. That there is a certain way, says verse 2, when they observe your conduct, your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. There has been many a godly wife that has won a lost husband by living a life of godliness. Not browbeating, not preaching, but by living a godly life and walking. And it's not that it didn't hurt, not that there wasn't moments, but there were. Well, does he say anything about husbands? Verse 7. Husbands, wives love this verse. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, agape your wives. Love them unconditionally, as Christ loved the church. Do you know why we're saved? We didn't love him first. He loved us first. That's what husbands are supposed to do. Love first. And when you love unconditionally, the wife responds to that love. And you honor her. And you respect her by showing. What does that mean? You put yourself ahead of her. He says in Ephesians, you love her body. You love her more than you love your own. So that wives walk in a godly way with their husbands, and husbands love their wives, that makes for a perfect ideal situation. What's he talking about here? All of chapter 3, he's talking about the things that bring inner healing. That when you receive the work that he has done by his stripes, it behooves me now to walk in harmony with what he has done. Look at verses 8 and 9. I'm going to close with this. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. When you bless others, when you bless, when you forgive, you bring release. And this is so important. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Here's what he's saying. When you bless others, you will receive a blessing. We have got to quit thinking people who go through the most inner hurt are some of the most self-centered people. They cannot get past themselves. And they get so focused, the more you focus on everything that's wrong, and I'm not saying there's not things that are wrong, I understand. But the more you focus on it, the bigger it gets. And it grows inside of you like a cancer, and a bitterness, and unforgiveness, and a hard heart, and it grows, and it grows. And it gets bigger, and after a while it gets bigger than you. And it's so big, it starts to control you. But stripes were laid on his back for that. He paid for that. He bore your griefs and sorrows. You don't have to carry that thing. But when you forget, when you start to learn to bless others, and not so self-focused, but just bless others, he says when you start to bless, you will be blessed. Amen? You know why? Because when you bless people, even people who have wronged you, what does he say? Bless those who curse you. And do good to those who despitefully use you. Wow. Glenn, that's hard. Amen? I'm not saying it's easy. But Jesus knew the power of release. That when I bless, I release and I let go. Do you know that's what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is just letting go. I've just carried this thing. I'm just not going to carry it anymore. I'm tired. I'm tired of this sack of rocks that has been my partner through so many years of my life. Today's the day I lay it down. Today's the day that I unload this burden. I've carried my griefs and sorrows, but he carried them for me. The stripes of my wrongdoing were laid on him. He paid the price for my healing. I ask our musicians to come back. I want all of you to stand.